Welcome back to the Coffee House Theater Company podcast.
I'm so glad we finally have that down.
I feel like a champ after I do that, so.
Like, that's all Anyways. Our podcast.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Hi.
It is, is season two, episode five.
I don't know why.
It's episode
You're
five.
You're asking me this.
It's episode five.
Isn't it an even number? We're doing a musical review today.
Yeah, but since we restarted seasons, like we restarted the season, then the musical reviews are on odd numbers now.
Wow, I didn't realize
that. Isn't that crazy?
Crazy. So hopefully you guys didn't get too used to even numbers.
Hopefully that I said this right. Because, okay, so I don't even have this on the right one. This is supposed to be, even if we were going continuing as we did, it would have been episode 20. I accidentally put this down. I, like, skipped over 20 for some reason.
She's a little confused, but it's,
yeah.
It's
okay. I just now realized that, so I was like, okay, well, whatever. So, yeah, today's a great day. We're probably going to do a bunch of recording today.
Yay!
So, that's crazy. And I still haven't gone back to school yet. Still here in Sandhagen, right?
What did you do yesterday? It's been a whole day since I've seen you, and so much has happened.
What did I do yesterday? Oh, okay. Well, let's talk about the, not the elephant in the room, the tent in the room. okay, so.
There's a literal tent.
I should really, like, take a picture, like, a video of this and be like, guys, this is literally what I'm talking about. So I decided to start an Instagram account where I record, like, covers and, like, me singing my own songs. And I've decided I'm going to do a bunch of recording before I went back to school. So I started, and I'm trying to figure all this out because I'm not the best at all of this and, like, tech stuff. Like, the only thing that I can do is sing. So, like, this is rough. But I wanted to, like, kind of have a way to block the sound, and we weren't really, like, sure how to do that. So we saw this thing where you take, like, those, like, tents that you put up outside. Not one of the ones you sleep in, but, like, the ones that, you know, you put
like
outside.
Party tents.
Yeah, party tent kind of things. And you can put, like, sound blankets and hang them from the side. And it's, like, your own little, like, soundproof room. But the sound blankets are, like, really extremely expensive. So my dad decided to make homemade boards where you take cloth. Because cloth actually absorbs sound better than everything else. So we have these, like, boards that have, like, bunches of, like, blankets and layers of towel, like cloth, all different things inside of them, and they're like hung up on this freaking tent, but the tent is too big for it to really absorb the sound that much, so it just looks really stupid right now. Like, it looks really weird. And then we have like a light hanging from the ceiling, and it looks really funny, but
it does look pretty funny, but it's okay.
It's okay. Like, Erica and Caitlin and Erica's boyfriend came here yesterday, and they're like, oh, I'm a little confused. I was like, it's okay. Me and my dad are confused too. It's a work in progress. So we're trying this whole recording thing, and it's one step at a time, I guess. But I have two songs recorded, and then I recorded one today, and then I was listening to it, and I think the microphone was, it was too loud. Like, I think the gain was on too high, and I was picking up too much where it kind of, I need to redo it now, so that's unfortunate. But
that does not sound fun.
But, yeah, so that's what I was doing, and then, yeah, I think that's all I did yet. I don't remember yesterday. What did we do? Did I do things?
I don't know. I wasn't with you yesterday.
Dang it.
Sorry, I'm not always here.
I know.
I'm always here for you, but I'm not always here.
I was probably hanging out with my dog a lot.
Mateo.
Oh, I had to pick up my car for Mushi. Yeah, that's something I did.
Love that.
That's
for you.
Fun. Russia. It looks like Russia, how it's spelled, but
you pronounce it Rushi.
So cool. I just mainly did errands. That's what I did. I ran errands. That's all I did yesterday. So,
wow.
And recorded, like a cool gal. But yeah, my life's kind of boring, low key.
Well, I had a crazy day yesterday.
How did you have? What could have happened in just like that one day?
Actually, quite a lot. Okay, so let's start with the morning. I woke up and it was like, hey, we're going to Muncie to see your grandpa. And so, but then my mom wasn't feeling well, so she stayed home. But my dad, my boyfriend, and I all went to Muncie, and we went to Olive Garden to
see
my grandpa. I'm always at Olive Garden.
Let me see how this tastes. This will be interesting.
Disclaimer, there was one time I was at Olive Garden, like 5 weekends in a row, but we're not going to dig into that right now. So we went to Olive Garden, and it was great. And then, actually, I got to back up a little bit. We left to go to Muncie early so I could get some shopping done because I'd gotten a bunch of gift cards. And mm-hmm. it was just so funny because, obviously, my boyfriend, we're still kind of, like, relatively new to the whole dating thing. Like,
you don't even have this plugged in.
Oh, crazy.
That'll help.
No wonder I can't hear myself.
Okay, there we go.
Wow. Here, <Chanel. laughs>
Anyways.
Okay. Anyway, so my boyfriend and I, we just started dating like last month. It's not even been a whole month yet. And so since there was only three of us going to Muncie, and he was like, oh, I'll sit in the front with your dad. So those two just sat in the front and talked the whole time, and I just kind of chilled in the back, and it was fine. And then we went to shopping, and I had a gift card to Ulta and a gift card to Kohl's and a gift card to Rue 21. And so we went to Ulta first, and I was like, you guys can come in if you want. And they're like, no thanks. So I was like, okay. So I went into Ulta, did some shopping, and then I went to Kohl's and did some shopping. And I've never seen a line at Kohl's as long as I saw the line at Kohl's. They had 8 registers going, and the line still like went over and like Muncie? Around the corner. Yes. Oh. It was insane.
Huh. Okay. Yeah. I've never seen that.
Yeah. 8 registers going, and the line was still like bending. It was crazy. It was so long. It was just about ready to loop around the store again. Like not loop around, but like, so you have like the line, and then you like obviously reach the end, so you have to turn it.
Yeah.
And then like the line was so long that like you almost had to turn for a second again. Time. It was insane. It moved pretty fast, but I was triggered, and I got this really cute jacket. So go me. And then we went to Olive Garden and ate food, and then I went to Rue 21. And I also found out that the chain Justice has closed down completely, which kind of wrecked my little kid soul. Yeah. I did all my shopping at Justice, the whole chain franchise.
I had no idea.
I was like, Muncie was where it always was, and I was looking, I was like, I don't see Justice anymore. And yeah, I looked it up. Apparently all of them have closed down. But so I went to the mall, and I saw that Francesca's in Muncie is going out of business in Muncie's, but I think they're at like the very tail end, and so everything was crazy cheap. Okay.
At Francesca's.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so you know how expensive Francesca's is, right?
It's expensive, yes.
All right, for $94, I got 3 shirts, 2 dresses, 2 necklaces, and 2 sets of earrings.
That's a lot.
Like, there were, like 2 of the shirts I got were originally $34. I got them for $5.
Oh, yeah.
All of the clothing was $42, and then the rest was just the jewelry, because the jewelry was only half off, because, you know, they have really nice jewelry there.
Yeah.
So the jewelry was all half off, but the clothing, like, I was triggered. $42 for just the clothing.
I would never guess. But almost, like, so many of those, like, the stores in Muncie have closed.
Yeah, the mall's not going to be around much longer.
Yeah.
But
so cheap.
I wasn't mad about it because like I never shop I never shop there because it's just so crazy expensive.
Oh,
and like they have really cute stuff, but I'm like, I can't justify spending this much money on a shirt. But when it was $5, then I could justify it.
I've gotten like a dress there, but like it's because I really needed dresses to like wear if I was like performing, like nicer ones. And my mom's like, oh, this is expensive, but you really need this, so we're getting it. And that's, like, the only thing I've ever gotten from Francesca's, I'm pretty sure.
Well, if you want to take a trip to Muncie, they're still open and doing their
That kind of sounds amazing.
It was so good. Like, and, like, yeah, $94 is a lot, but, like, for everything that I got.
For all of that.
Like, I've been wanting those chunky necklaces.
Yeah.
And I cannot find them anywhere. Like, no.
Really?
No. Like, I've looked at so many stores, and I cannot find good chunky necklaces. And they had two really
chunky
necklaces. And they had two really cute ones. So I'm like, yes, I'm going to get this. And then earring-wise, I got earrings that I'm going to wear to prom this year, if we have prom. And then I got another pair that's also very cute. And it's just like, wow. And the clothing that I got is adorable. So I'm vibing. That was so great. And then I went to Rue 21.
I love that for you.
It had a gift card, and I got bralettes because I have not had any of those. Wait, is that what they're called? The cute, like they're kind of lacy at the top and like you can wear them with.
Yeah, those are bralettes. Yeah.
So I didn't have any and I really wanted some. And they had a 2 for buy 2, get 1 free sale, and I had a $25 gift card. And so I got 3 for free pretty much because of my gift card.
Oh, nice.
So good. And then I went home and went to my friend's house. It was, like, later when I got home. So I went to my friend's house, and we made hot chocolate bombs. You know what I'm talking about? Have you seen those? You don't know what those are?
No.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so you get like cylinder mold, not cylinder, circular molds, but like half a circle.
Okay.
And you fill it up with chocolate, like you rim it with chocolate, and then you freeze it, and then you pop them out, and you take like one half of it, and you put like hot chocolate powder in it, and you seal it up with the other one, and then when you're ready, you get like really warm milk, and you just kind of drop the bomb in it, and it just kind of like explodes.
Oh, really?
And it opens up. It's so cool. That's, and then you have hot chocolate. I have some at my house. You can have one if you want it.
I do.
It's so good. So I made hot chocolate bombs, and that was so much fun. And then I was talking with my friend. Her name's Olivia. And I was like, yeah, Liv, like, I'm going to get another cartilage piercing because I have, like, a little hoop thingy up here, and I want, like, an actual cartilage piercing. I guess technically I have a helix. I think that's what this is technically called up here. Like, I don't have it in right now, but like when it's like a circle, a helix, and I want a cartilage. And I was like, I'm also thinking of getting my ears triple piercings. And she was like, I was like, but I don't know if I should or not. I don't know if they'd like be up too high if I got them or if I'd really like how they look. And she was like, oh no, I think they'd be good. I'm like, okay, then maybe I'll get it done. She goes, oh, we could just go to Walmart and get it done. And I was like, tonight? She was like, yeah, why not? And I was like, okay, but we called Walmart, and because of COVID, Walmart's not doing piercings. Okay, so she goes, I'll just do it for you. And I was like, really? She was like, yeah, I've never done it before, but I'll do it for you. And then, so it's been on my bucket list to have a friend pierce my ears, just because I think that's so funny. Like,
oh,
it just,
my God.
It just cracks me up. And I was like, actually, that is on my bucket list, but I didn't have any earrings. So what we did, because I have my doubles right now, so we took out my doubles, which the ones that are in my triples now were the ones that were my doubles, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So we went down into her basement, and luckily her mom didn't see us, because I think her mom would have had a conniption if she knew that her daughter was piercing my ears in her basement. So we snuck down into the basement and we sterilized everything, and we took out my doubles, and it was just so funny. And I was like hysterically laughing, because when I get nervous, I laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And I did it when I got my helix pierced too. I was just like hysterically laughing, and my mom was there when I got these pierces. She was laughing, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I'm nervous. She's like, yeah, you do that. So we're in the basement, and then Olivia's laughing too, because she's like, you gotta stop laughing. So we're numbing my ear with ice, and it was terrifying. But there's a video of when she did, I don't know, do you have her on Snapchat?
I don't know.
Because she posted it on her story, and she said, catch me working at Claire's. And what?
Oh, I do have it on Snapchat. Yeah, you're right. I saw it.
And in the video, she has, because she stabbed it with a safety pin is what she did for my ear.
Oh, my God.
So in the video, it's her, like, stabbing my ear with the safety pin, and then it goes through, and she goes, oh, we got it, we got it, we got it.
Catch me working.
And I was going, yay.
God, that's ridiculous.
And if you look at the video, you can just see a safety pin hanging from my ear. It's so funny.
So professional.
And so, yeah. So I have my triples done now, but they actually look really good.
They do look good.
Don't they?
Yeah.
I was really happy.
And you
with
said
them.
They don't really hurt, like, so
no,
far.
No, they don't. They
good.
Don't hurt. I was just, when I'm faced with, like, when I'm nervous or I'm faced with pain of any sort, I just start hysterically laughing. And so the first one that she did not hurt that bad, but the second one, I don't think my ear was as numb as my other ear was, and so it hurt a little bit more. And then when she took the paperclip out, not the paperclip, the safety pin, and she was going to put, like, my actual earring in, she couldn't find the hole. And so she was just jabbing around in my ear trying to find the hole.
I don't think they normally numb your ear, though, do they?
No, but they don't numb your ear at, like, an actual salon or whatever, but the reason is because they just do a gun, and it's just so fast, like, but you're technically, if you do it at home, you're technically supposed to numb your ear with ice. Did you not get your ears numb?
No.
What'd they stab it with when you did yours?
She bought, like, actual ear piercing needles. So she doesn't have a nail gun, but she has needles that supposed to
see,
use.
See, that's a little bit different.
Yeah, here. I didn't use, like, a...
I just used a safety pin.
No. No, it's not that.
Yeah, so when you do stuff like that, you're supposed to numb your ears, because it's literally... Because obviously it's not supposed to be done...
Yeah.
You're not supposed to do that with a safety pin. But now I can cross that off my bucket
list. I was
list.
Worried to tell my mom that I had got my ears pierced, because I knew she was going to ask me, oh, where'd you get a pierce? And I was going to have to tell her that I had someone else do it. And she was going to probably be mad at me, because I've always had so much problems with getting my ears pierced. But then I didn't even have any problems with her piercing my ears, except for I, like, almost passed out afterwards. But, like, That's what I'll, that's a different story.
Yeah, but a lot of people do. That's just what it just happens, like, to people. If you don't have, like, enough food in your stomach and then you get your ears pierced, then you just, like, you have, like, a sudden, like, blood rush. So it's, like, you
see, I was doing okay. Pass out, and I've been taking Advil and ibuprofen. Like, when I woke up this morning, they were a little bit sore. But then, like, I took some ibuprofen and now they're fine. They don't hurt to turn or that's anything. Good. So I'm good. And now I'm going to get my cartilage pierced. And so I'm turning into one of those girls with all these piercings, but it's fine.
I mean,
they're all in my ears and they look cute. So
I kind of want, yeah. I mean, I want to get more piercings in my ears. My brother the other day was like, I don't really understand piercings. Like, I understand if a girl gets like one or two, but like, why would you want more than that? It's like, okay, you know what? Just shut up.
I say look cute.
I like them.
I don't like the big gaudy stuff, but like,
yeah, but yeah.
Like my earrings that I have now, they're like, they're nice. They're like, not professional, but they're. What word am I thinking of?
I mean, like, nice quality, or what do you mean?
No, like, looking at it, you're not like, ugh, that's...
They're
classy.
They're classy.
Classy.
Yeah, classy.
And then, like, the little hoop that I'm getting, it's coming in the mail, and I showed you a picture of it. Like, it's gonna, like, tightly squeeze my ear up here where my helix is. Like, that's classy, too. It's tiny, and, like, little jewels, and it's cute. And the same as the one that I'm getting in my
sometimes cartilage. My, like, bottom one, I think I'm wearing hoops right now. They're, like, tiny hoops. But, like, I'll wear, like, bigger earrings to my first one, but then, like...
Oh, same.
I don't have, like, all kind of crazy
See, stuff. My top two now, I'm going to definitely keep just... I'm probably not going to ever change these out because I feel like I don't need to. But the bottom one, I'll put, like, hoops and different stuff
in. Yeah. So, sometimes I'm like, I like hoops. So, I'm just like, meh. But, yeah.
So, but it was so funny because that was not supposed to happen
last
night.
And then it just randomly happened.
But here we are. And I still don't think her parents know.
Yikes.
My mom was like, she was not very happy at first. Like, now she's worried that I'm going to get an infection. But I told her, I'm like, Mom, I'm going to be honest. What we did last night was probably more sanitary than Claire's.
I, like, agree. Like, I think sometimes...
Claire's is not sanitary. Did I ever tell you the story of when I tried to give blood? And, like, what happened? It was, like, after I got my helix pierced.
Didn't they
helix.
Say you couldn't because you got it done at Claire's?
I didn't get it done at Claire's. They said if I had gotten it done at Claire's or gotten it done by a friend, then I could not give blood. Because they said they don't properly sanitize.
Yeah. So I did say that. Okay.
So I told Mom, I was like, yeah, it's probably more sanitary than Claire's, which is where I got my other two.
Probably. Well.
And now she's fine. And she's like, okay, it does look pretty good.
Yeah. It's fine. It's fine. I waited, like, a month after and told him, I'm like, oh, by the way, I have my triples.
She's they didn't
like,
notice? Or were you just
I think home? I think I just wasn't home that whole time. I might have been home at once, but, like, I don't think she... I have, like... I mean, my hair can cover it if I needed it to, so I might have just had my hair down. I don't remember. But I don't think I'll really... I'm not going to do... I don't think... I'm not the type of person to get a tattoo either. Like, I think some people, they have, like, really small tattoos that, like, mean something to them. And, like, I'm like... I respect that. Like,
see, I might do a really small tattoo that means something, but then, you know, if you want to get tattoos, to each his own, like, that's totally fine. But, like, for me personally, I would not want a big tattoo, and I would not want a tattoo that didn't have a meaning
behind it. And I never know what I want in life, and I always change my mind, so I feel like I'm just gonna end up not liking it.
Like, I think for me, if I got a tattoo, it would definitely be something with music, because that's been the one constant in my life for literally as long as I can remember. Or maybe, like, a Bible, like a little
something with like kind of religious symbol,
or
like
something to represent people who I've lost.
Oh yeah, yeah. So
like I really like the idea of like, I don't know, have you seen this where people like they have like if their mom dies they make their mom have do a recording of like them the mom saying like I love you, and then they take out like the little waves and they get that tattooed, and so like it's the waves aww. Of their tats of their mom saying I love you. Like, that's really cute.
That is really cute. That's special.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so, like, for when sure. that mom or whoever dies and, like, they have, like, the waves of it. And I'm like, so maybe something like that if somebody dies. But, yeah. That's what I would do tattoo-wise.
Okay. Your coffee. You want to talk about coffee?
Okay. So, my coffee is refrigerated of what I had in... Was it did we record out of order, or was it the last episode?
That was the last episode.
Okay, last episode. So it's the salted caramel Bigby coffee.
The crazy castmates episode.
Yeah.
Past one, yeah.
And actually, the salt has like died down now that it's been refrigerated. So it's better. Yeah, it's better the next day.
And so the reason is you're trying not to drink as like much coffee right now.
Yeah, so my boyfriend and I have decided that we want to try to both lose 10 pounds and be a power couple, because why not?
Just because.
Like, neither of us are fat by any means, but it's just like, you know, I can maybe get healthier.
So you're like, I'm just going to get one coffee. I was like, okay.
So yeah, we're trying to like balance what we eat.
But don't worry, guys. I got a different one, so you can learn a little bit more. But it's from Big B. It's one of the holiday drinks. It's the caramel or sweet cold foam. It's like one of the three that they're like new ones that they're selling, and it's the one that has kind of like the foam on top. Why is this? I can't think of what it's called, but it's kind of basically
a cold brew or a latte.
I think it's a cold brew
as well.
Yeah. So and then it has the stuff on top, which I've had this before because I've gone there, I think, with Erica, and I've gotten this. But I thought I went with you and got the winter drinks, but I guess we just got the fall drinks. But anyways, this is
you and I got fall drinks there. We did not get winter drinks.
I remember the last time I had it, I think it kind of like made my stomach feel pretty weird, but I guess that's coffee in general. And it could have been something else maybe I had eaten, but other than that, it tastes really fucking good. Oh, sorry. Freaking, it tastes so freaking good.
That's the first time we've laid an F-bomb on this podcast.
Really?
Yeah. We've cussed, but no F-bombs.
I think I've said it.
You've said almost all the cuss words from this podcast as well.
I say the F-word, I think, a lot recently, and I don't know why.
See, I don't really say it all. That's like the one word that I'm like, I don't like. I use every once in a while, but I don't like when people like use it like,
yeah, I don't even use it that often either, but until recently, or at least I noticed it yesterday, I was like, why did I say this a lot? So maybe I'm around someone who's saying it a lot, and then I'm like picking
that's
up.
That's probably what's happening.
Yeah, because normally I only say like the one that's S,
D. The one with an S and a D.
Yeah.
Same.
That's about it, really. But
yeah, I try not to use that word. I always feel like, specifically with that word, I feel like there's other words that can supplement for it. Like, even if you really have like the urge to cuss, I still feel like there's other words that will supplement for that. So I try not to use it very often.
I feel like the S word is like, oh, I guess it's both the S and the D word. They're just not as like bad.
Right, they're not. I don't know.
It seems like it.
Also, the concept of cuss words and the concept of a bad finger just does not make sense to me. Like who decided these words? Yeah, like, who's like, hey, these words are bad. You can't say them because you'll get in trouble. And who was like, ah, yes, the middle finger. If you put up your middle finger, you're flipping somebody off. And that's a bad thing.
Actually, I decided that.
You decided that? Mm-hmm. No, yeah. Okay. Actually, that makes so much more sense now. Yeah. I'm glad we...
You know, I've been alive for such a long, long time.
Are you trying to tell me you're immortal?
Yes. You figured it out.
And so did they now.
She's a vampire. What? Vampire with? Yes, that's exactly what I said.
Okay, but in all seriousness, don't you agree with me?
I do.
Who decided this? And why did everybody go, ah, yes, I agree. That finger is bad.
I don't know. Some of it just... I don't know. Some of them don't make sense. I feel like the one that is used for a donkey, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that one kind of makes sense because someone's probably like, you're a, because they're like, ooh, donkeys, and then they're like, correlation there.
But possibly. Why is the word jerk not, like, because you, like, I get what you're saying with the correlation, but.
I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
Why would jerk be, though?
Well, I'm saying, like, the one with an A, like, they technically mean the same thing. You're a jerk, you're a.
Oh.
So I'm saying, like.
I don't know.
Yeah. See, that's my thing, and. My brain just sometimes goes, I don't understand life, and then I think deep about it, and this is one of those topics.
One of those topics.
Just like, I don't understand, I can't comprehend this.
But why are words mean what they mean in general?
Why do we exist? What is the meaning of life?
Life. Is there something after we die? Okay.
Is there life outside of the earth?
Yes.
On this week's episode, we'll be diving into our deep
conspiracy
thoughts.
Realities.
Oh my gosh, no.
Yes. I'm kidding.
PTSD.
We started talking about our coffee. here we are talking about conspiracy theories and the meaning of life.
I'm so glad that you can also get off topic with me.
I just realized, like, oh, wait, we took such a turn there that probably didn't make any sense. You know? It always happens every time I cuss, though. So I'm like, dang it, I shouldn't have done that because then... So, anyways. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
For our musical review.
Who goes first today?
I feel like I do.
I think you do as well.
Yeah.
I think did we record out of order when we did that musical review is the question.
No.
Honestly.
Because that was the...
I don't really think it matters. You just go first. How about...
Okay.
What you doing?
I feel like it is my turn. But I don't know. Whatever. Okay. So, the musical I'm doing is Violet.
I've heard of this one, and I know one of the songs. I don't know the plot, though.
I bet I know you know the song that... The only song that I knew.
Which is...
On My Way. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I also know that Sutton Foster... Wasn't
yes, it. I did know that as well. You're right.
And that's about all I know.
She's a queen. We love her.
I she's my idol. I love her.
She's so, like, if you don't know who she is, you're a fake fan. Like, I'm sorry.
If there was, like, a Broadway legend I wanted to be like, it'd be her.
Same. I feel that on a spiritual level.
Okay, so, the song On My Way, I think it's sung kind of a lot. Or, I mean, it's sung... a decent amount. Like, it's a good musical theater piece. Like,
it is.
It's very...
I think it's... almost considered one of those do not sing at audition songs, though, because I think a lot of people do it.
Probably. Yeah, I think so.
Just like Astonishing or honestly Sutton Foster, she just almost all of her songs are just like on the do not sing list because everybody loves them.
Yeah. And no one can do it as good as her.
Yeah, that's very true.
So this is how it starts. With a ticket, a suitcase, and a heart full of expectation, Violet Carl waits for a Greyhound bus in Spruce Pine, North Carolina. It is September 4th, 1964. And for a moment, she sees herself as a young girl, and she's called Young V. Like, I don't know if it's V or Vi. It's like V-I. I don't know if they would pronounce this Vi.
I think that'd be Vi.
A Young Vi. Okay. Carefree and singing a folk song. Before her face was horribly disfigured in an accident.
Oh.
So, like, this whole musical, when I'm explaining what's happening, a lot of it kind of goes back and forth of, like, her memories and, like, things that happen. And then it goes back up in time and then back. Okay. So, local's nosy question breaks Violet's revere? What?
I have no clue.
I don't know. Okay, prompting her to look forward to the healing she expects to receive from a televangelist in Tulsa that will help her transcend her provincial little town.
Okay, wait, is this modern time or flashback still?
This is back in time.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure, yeah. But she is, she remembers her. Yeah, she's thinking, she's like getting ready for the bus to come. Yeah, and she like recalls this.
Okay.
So as the bus departs the station, the passengers muse as to where this journey might lead them. And that's when she sings the wonderful song, On My Way. Okay. The passengers pile off the bus to get some food at a rest stop in Kingsport, Tennessee. In the grill, Violet meets two poker-playing soldiers, Flick and Monty. Flick is a black sergeant in his early 30s, Monty a younger white corporal, a paratrooper. Both are bound for Fort Smith, Arkansas, and Violet asks to join their game, and as they deal her in, she privately recalls how her father taught her to play. Back on the bus, Monty teases Violet about a preacher he obviously has no faith in. So, like, somehow, I don't know why, but she gets randomly close with these two random soldiers, like, in just, like, a little bit of time. So he takes a book she carries and plays keep away with it, which triggers Violet's memory of the day she found the catechism in her father's bedside table. Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I'm not good at pronouncing words. Later in the Nashville station, Flick wants to know exactly what it is that Violet wants to change. With the help of movie magazines, she shows the soldiers the physical features she'd like best. Like, of herself, like.
So, hold on, is she going to change her town or herself? Because didn't it say earlier that she wanted to, like, help with her town? Or did I just mishear that?
Help with her town?
You know what I'm saying?
The healing she expects to receive from a televangelist in Tulsa will help her transcend her provincial little town?
Yeah, that's what I heard.
So, like, she will fit in better?
That makes more sense. Okay, so she's disfigured pretty much.
Yeah, and I think people aren't, like, accepting. And she thinks that if she changes her features, then they'll finally... Is that what she's trying to say, I think?
I think so. That makes more sense. I hope so.
So she's showing them, like, the features that she wants changed because of her face is disfigured. But they offend her when their attention wanders. She sits apart from them as the journey continues, recalling once again her younger self singing the folk song, which turns out to have been the moment just before the accident where she...
Mm-hmm.
And then Violet daydreams an encounter between herself as young Vi and the preacher. As they are approaching Memphis, Flix seeks Violet out to apologize for offending her earlier. He suggests she can take care of herself without the help of the preacher. Stopping in Memphis overnight, the trio pass a hooker on the way to a boarding house where Almenta, the landlady, resists housing a white woman until Flick slips her some money. Because Violet's
white.
Okay. While a song plays on the radio, Violet dozes. She dozes off again, yeah. Seeing herself as young Vi trying to dance with her father, then practicing dancing with the old lady from the bus. Monty appears and dances with both women in turn. Martin has entered Violet's room. He finds her book and starts to read things Violet has written in it. She awakes and confronts him, prompting Monty to explain himself. Then Flick enters the room with some drinks to start the night off. The threesome. God, the way this one is written is really weird. Venture off to a Beale Street music hall, where the sight of Flick dancing with Violet attracts some unfriendly attention.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. When Monty moves in and makes a pass at Violet, Flick leaves the hall. Violet follows him back to the boarding house. The landlady interrupts a tender moment between them. In the middle of the night, Monty stumbles... In through Violet's unlocked door, he awakes her, makes love to her, then falls asleep in her lap.
Oh.
Isn't this just so random and confusing?
I just went from like 10 to 100.
I know, I read this and I was like, wait, what is happening? Okay. Now, the music hall singer, the landlady, and the hooker cap the evening with a trio about unfulfilled desire. Violet travels with the men to Fort Smith the next morning on her way to Tulsa. Flick and Violet pledge to write each other, but Flick gets upset about the events of the night before. Violet escapes to the bus bathroom, where she rehearses what she will say to spurn Monty, afraid he'll otherwise reject her first. In the front of the bus, Monty rehearses his own spiel at Flick's direction. But when it comes time to part, Monty instead asks Violet to meet him on a return stop at Fort Smith. She promises nothing, cleaving her plan, and the bus pulls away. In Tulsa, Violet surprises the preacher in rehearsal with his choir. He pawns her off on Virgil, a young assistant, and in her frustration, she recovers the memory of being carried in her father's arms after the accident. Soon she slips away from Virgil and returns to the televangelist's empty chapel. Violet takes out her catechism and empty slips of paper she has covered with Bible quotes onto the altar. When the preacher discovers her, she pleads with him to help invoke her miracle. When nothing comes out of this desperate attempt, she demands he see her for what she is, scarred and hideous, a prodigy of pain. She looks to the heavens for a moment. The preacher is replaced by her father. They fight until he apologizes for what he has done.
Wait, the father? The father apologizes? And what was the father apologizing for?
She looks to the heavens for a moment. The preacher is replaced by her father. So the preacher is technically there, but she sees her father,
okay.
I'm assuming. for a moment. Okay, and then they fight. So she's fighting with him until he apologizes for what he has done.
But what did the dad do? I thought he was a good dad from what it sounded like.
Aware that something about herself has changed, Violet assumes it is her scar. She reboards the bus, convinced she has had a miracle. So I'm wondering if, was there something he did?
I don't know. I'm kind of confused.
Me too. I thought I understood this. Because he's the one that brings her down the mountain after the accident. But, like, was he the cause of the accident?
Maybe.
I don't know. I'm going to keep reading. This is really confusing. So right now she thinks she's had a miracle. When she gets out at the Fort Smith station, Monty is there waiting. His efforts at sympathy make plain to her that her face has not changed at all. Crushed, she rejects Monty's invitation to marry him before he ships out to Vietnam. Flick is also at the station to recognize that Violet has changed, though her scar has not. He entreats her to stay with him. Violet's healing is complete when she takes Flick's hand and commits to a new life with him. I'm so confused.
Same.
What? Why? What was wrong with Monty?
I don't know. I don't know.
What? I am so confused. Okay.
I don't know what happened. Honestly, I'm a little stumped.
Okay. Violet the musical. What even happens? That's what I'm typing into Google, guys. Don't worry. I feel really bad. But this doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, me neither. I don't really know what's happening.
Like, hello? Okay.
I mean, some of it made sense, but then there were just random parts where I was just like, huh?
Okay, this, they did not say this in the thing. Okay. The disfigurement was an accident. The shim on her father's hatchet came loose, the blade flew, and where she was playing, she was left with her.
Yeah. Okay, so it was her father's
It was her father's
fault. That makes
fault.
More sense.
And then the thing with the preacher is, I guess he was like, made her feel bad for having this. Like, she wasn't accepted. And then once nothing would happen, she was like she knew she wasn't going to be able to be fixed. She's like, asked him to accept her as she was. And like, I guess she was, okay. Yeah, and I think everyone in her town was like very judgmental too.
That makes a lot more sense. Okay, now we're good.
But I don't know why, like, maybe because Flick apologized to her after the, like...
Fickle.
So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's all you need to know now. I'm still kind of, like, confused. I think I would need to watch it.
I think I get it for the most part.
Okay.
All right,
Your turn.
The show I am doing is Showboat. Have you ever heard of this one?
I mean, no.
So there's a note before I get into like the description, and the note says, although the basic plot of Showboat has always remained the same, over the years revisions and alterations were made by the creators and over time by subsequent producers and directors. Some of these revisions were for length and some for convenience, as when a different actor played a certain role. Did you spill your water?
Yeah.
She has stains all over her jeans. Okay, anyway, as when a different actor played a certain role and was unable to perform a specialty piece written for the role's character, some have been made to reflect contemporary sensitivities toward race, gender, and other social issues. So this, I can't say it's a controversial show. That's not the right word for it. Girl.
I'm sorry, there's water everywhere. She's... I don't like this. Okay, I think I'm good now. Sorry. Okay,
you're fine. Anyway. It's not, like, there's just some sensitive topics, yeah. I think. And so it's been changed over the years. Because when it was originally written...
It was a long time ago. I don't know. Was it?
It was, like, 1927-ish.
Oh, yeah. That's a while ago.
Actually, I think 1927 is when it was first produced. So, yeah.
Yeah, things
definitely changed. Over time, it changed. Anyway, let's get into this. So, in Act 1, In 1887, the showboat Cotton Blossom arrives at the river dock in Natchez, Mississippi. The Reconstruction era had ended a decade earlier, and white-dominated Southern legislatures have imposed racial segregation and Jim Crow laws. The boat's owner, Cap'n Andy Hawks, introduces his actors to the crowd on the levee. A fistfight breaks out between Steve Baker, the leading man of the troop, and Pete, a rough engineer who had been making passes at Steve's wife, the leading lady, Julie Laverne. Steve knocks Pete down, and Pete swears revenge, suggesting he knows a dark secret about Julie. Cap'n, and the reason I'm saying it like that is that's actually how it's spelled, like Cap'n. So it's okay. Captain, but it's written as Cap'n. So Cap'n Andy pretends to the shocked crowd that the fight was a preview of one of the melodramas to be performed. So they fought on stage in front of a crowd, and the guy was like, oh, don't worry, this was just part of the act.
This was part of the act.
And the troupe exits with the showboat band, and the crowd follows. A handsome riverboat gambler, Gaylord Ravenel, appears on the levee and is taken with 18-year-old Magnolia Nolly Hawks, an aspiring performer and the daughter of Cap'n Andy and his wife, Parthenia Ann, and they call her Parthy.
Okay.
Magnolia is likewise smitten with Ravenel. She seeks advice from Joe, a black dock worker aboard the boat who has returned from buying flour for his wife, Queenie, the ship's cook. He replies that he has seen a lot like Ravenel on the river. As Magnolia goes inside the boat to tell her friend Julie about the handsome stranger, Joe mutters that she ought to ask the river for advice. He and the other dock workers reflect on the wisdom and indifference of Old Man River, who does not seem to care what the world's troubles are, but just keeps rolling along. Magnolia finds Julie inside and announces that she is in love. Julie cautions her that this stranger could be just a no-account river feller. Magnolia says that if she found out he was no account, she would stop loving him. Julie warns her that it is not that easy to stop loving someone, explaining that she will always love Steve and singing a few lines of Can't Help Loving That Man. Queenie overhears. She's surprised that Julie knows that song as she has only heard colored folk sing it. Magnolia remarks that Julie sings it all the time, and when Queenie asks if she can sing the entire song, Julie obliges. During the rehearsal for that evening, Julie and Steve learn that the town sheriff is coming to arrest them. Steve takes out a large pocket knife and makes a cut on the back of her hand, sucking the blood and swallowing it. Pete returns with the sheriffs, who insists the show cannot proceed because Julie is a mulatto who has been passing as white, and local law prohibits mixed marriages.
Oh my god, this makes so much more sense. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Julie admits that her mother was black, but Steve tells the sheriff that he also has black blood in him. Get it? Because he cut her and drank her blood. So he has black blood in him.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, okay, because then that way they're not, if he has black blood in him, yeah, then they're not a legal
marriage. And so their marriage is legal in Mississippi. Like, that's what he tells the sheriff. He's like, oh, I do have black blood in me, so our marriage is legal.
Okay.
The troop backs him up, boosted by the ship's pilot, Wendy McLean, a longtime friend of the sheriff. The couple have escaped the charge of marriage of mixed race, but I can't remember how to.
I don't know how
to pronounce it. But they still have to leave the showboat identified as black. They can no longer perform for the segregated white audience. Does this make sense so far?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Cap'n Andy fires Pete, but in spite of his sympathy for Julie and Steve, he cannot violate the law for them. Ravenel returns and asks for passage on the boat. Andy hires him as the new leading man and assigns his daughter Magnolia as the new leading lady over her mother's objections. As Magnolia and Ravenel begin to rehearse their roles and in the process kiss for the first time, Joe reprises the last lines of Old Man River. Weeks later, Magnolia and Ravenel have been a hit with the crowds and have fallen in love. As the levee workers hum Old Man River in the background, he proposes to Magnolia and she accepts. The couple joyously sings You Are Love. They make plans to marry the next day while Parthy, who disapproves, is out of town. Parthy has discovered that Ravenel once killed a man and arrives with the sheriff to interrupt the wedding festivities. The group learns that Ravenel was acquitted of murder. Cap'n Andy calls Parthy narrow-minded and defends Ravenel by announcing that he also once killed a man. Parthy faints, but the ceremony continues.
Okay.
That's the end of Act 1.
She faints. Okay, dude, this show actually sounds, like, really interesting. Like,
doesn't
I would
it?
Want to
Yeah.
See it.
Okay, so act two. 6 years have passed, and it's now 1893. Ravenel and Magnolia have moved to Chicago, where they make a precarious living from Ravenel's gambling. At first, they are rich and enjoying the good life. By 1903, they have a daughter, Kim, and after years of varying income, they are broke and rent a room in a boarding house. Depressed over his inability to support his family, Ravenel abandons Magnolia and Kim. Frank and Ellie, two former actors from the Showboat, learn that Magnolia is living in the rooms they want to rent. The old friend seeks a singing job for Magnolia at the Trocadero, the club where they are doing a New Year's show. Julie is working there. She has fallen into drinking after having been abandoned by Steve. At a rehearsal, she tries out the new song, Bill. She appears to be thinking of Steve and sings it with great emotion. From her dressing room, she hears Magnolia singing Can't Help Lovin' Dat Man for her audition, the song which Julie taught her many years ago. Julie secretly quits her job so that Magnolia can fill it without learning of her sacrifice. Ravenel visits his daughter Kim at the convent, where she goes to school to say goodbye before leaving her forever. On New Year's Eve, Andy and Parthy go to Chicago for a surprise visit to their daughter Magnolia. Andy goes to the Trocadero without his wife and sees Magnolia overcome with emotion and nearly booed off stage. Andy rallies the crowd by starting a sing-along of the standard After the Ball. Magnolia becomes a great musical star. More than 20 years pass, and it is 1927. An aged Joe on the Cotton Blossom sings a reprise of Old Man River. Cap'n Andy has a chance meeting with Ravenel and arranges his reunion with Magnolia. Andy knows that Magnolia is retiring and returning to the Cotton Blossom with Kim, who has become a Broadway star. Kim gives her admirers a taste of her performing abilities by singing an updated Charleston version of Why Do I Love You? Ravenel sings a reprise of You Are Loved to the offstage Magnolia. Although he is uncertain about asking her to take him back, Magnolia, who has never stopped loving him, greets him warmly and does. As the happy couple walk up the boat's gangplank, Joe and the cast sing the last verse of Old Man River. And that's the end.
Oh my gosh.
I actually really liked this one.
Yeah. Oh,
I didn't know much about Showboat at all. I'd heard of it, but I knew nothing about it.
It was performed in 1927.
Yeah,
so that was almost when it was 100 years old.
Yeah. Isn't that insane?
That's insane. I want to listen to it.
And like, it's been redone over the years. Like I said, I'm actually not sure if that version is like the newer version or I feel like it is because I think that, Sorry,
it gives me anxiety.
I keep hitting the table, I'm sorry. I think the original version was a little more risky, but again, probably. It was also 1927.
Yeah, makes more sense. Wow, I'm intrigued. Okay, your musical made up for mine. I thought mine would be like, I thought Violet would be good just because Sutton Foster was in it, and then I was like, I'm confused.
Mm-hmm. And maybe it would make more sense if you actually saw the show.
Probably.
But, you know, just reading about it.
But it was like, what? So, I don't know. And I only know the one song from it. But, interesting. Another musical review. I don't even remember what my next one is. I did it.
My next one is American Psycho, which I'm very excited for.
Because
it's kind of a hot mess.
We're going to record this today, too, probably.
So, I may still have the exact same coffee.
Oh, my gosh.
What?
You're going to have the same one again.
Well, in my defense, we're recording multiple. Or I could just talk about my water.
Billy. Who is... What? Oh, I know which one I have. I have Bright Star for my next one. So.
Okay. Well, that's all that we have for today, I think.
Yeah.
Do you have anything else?
I don't think I have really any updates or anything. I don't know. Do you?
I don't.
I don't think so. Hit us up.
Slide into our DMs. We love talking with you. Also,
donate. Give us money.
Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I keep hitting the table.
Yeah, and every time you do, it's like... I'm like, oh my god. So, anyways, support us on Patreon. No one will, but...
We'd appreciate
it. It'd be awesome. It'd be cool.
We'll give you a high five.
We'll give you a high five and...
Maybe a shout out.
Definitely shout out because
nobody loves us.
Yep.
Just kidding. I know you guys love us. Money's tight.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway.
Anyways, I think that's it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. Goodbye. And we'll see you next time on the Coffee House Theater Company podcast.